Hello and welcome to the You Up podcast. I'm Jared Freed.
And I'm Jordana Abraham, and we're back.
We're back. Finally. We're back. We come back every Wednesday, and we're here, and it's so good to be here. I love this show. I love the people who listen. I was just in Nashville. We're going back for UUP in Nashville in October, I think. What a crowd. What a fun group of people. And that's what I really like about this audience. Fun with it and looking to talk it out.
Yeah.
You know, like this is
they want to discuss these things.
They want to discuss it without judgment, without thought of, you know, you're evil. You know, I think we've found quite a community.
Yeah, I'm excited to go to Nashville.
But we're pumped to go to some other cities.
We're coming soon.
It's coming. And if you're in these cities, you're our first stop. You got to buy those tickets today. Okay. You got to get them. Get the group. Assemble the group chat.
Exactly.
Assemble. You got to get them together.
It's the summer. You better get out there.
Let them know. Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Toronto. I'm looking at you. Toronto, especially you. The amount of DMs I got from Toronto people being like, when are you coming? We're coming.
We're here. We're coming.
Okay? I don't want your DMs. I want you getting the tickets right now. Get the group chat together because we're coming. We're doing dating app makeovers. We're translating texts. Exactly. We're doing red flag deal breakers. Special guests in all these cities.
And if you ever wanted intimate advice from us, you should get a VIP ticket because chance.
Right there.
We're going to talk to you.
That's your free therapy session. Well, not free, but that's your therapy session.
That's your therapy session. You get a picture with us. You get, you know, the whole nine yards. It's going to be great.
So listen, if you're in those cities, the shows are a blast. I love doing them. I know Jordana, you love doing it. It is a group event. The music's loud. It's bumping. It's going crazy. And if you're a dude, like if you're a guy right now listening to this and this is like your dirty little secret and you're like,
better get your ass to the show
and bring a crew because you guys are going to be around fun women that are like there to party and have a good time.
Yeah, there's a lot of attractive, great, fun
people are
girls
dressed up
who also have something in common with you because they listen to this podcast.
It's a great talking point to start the whatever that relationship might be. So listen, I'm going to repeat those cities. It's Chicago, Cleveland,
Detroit,
Toronto. We're coming to your city. A ring a dang dang in your dang.
That's
dang.
August 14th, Chicago. August 15th, Detroit. August 16th, Cleveland. And August 17th, Toronto.
It's time to pick up those tickies. Tell the friends, tell the coworkers. What else is going on, Jordana?
In life?
Just in life in general. You've been...
Is it a wedding?
I mean, your friends,
I'm
everyone.
I'm on the wedding circuit.
If there's someone single in your group, they are feeling it right now.
Yeah. There's a lot.
They got to be sweating it out. Because
couple of wedding things going on.
You're at a wedding every week. It's crazy.
It's not even... Sometimes it's a bachelorette party, okay?
Whatever it might be, it's all related.
It's been an expensive year for me.
You're in that target zone. You're right at the epicenter of the wedding shenanigans.
Exactly.
It is. I mean, to watch on Instagram, I'm having a blast. You know why I love your Instagram stories? Because I'm on the couch watching them. I didn't have to do any of the shit that you guys are doing.
I
didn't have to get dressed up.
I love a wedding.
I didn't have to sweat getting into a suit.
You don't like weddings? I actually love weddings.
I love a wedding. My big thing is all the stuff that comes to get there.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of preparation.
It's a lot of hoopla.
It's a lot of getting, you know, thinking like, oh, am I going to fit in the suit? Have I put on the suit? Is it going to, you know, like I'm happy to be in stretchy pants.
It's so funny that you're saying that because you men have the least to do for these. They have the same fucking suit every time. For us, it's like, I want the bridesmaid dressed in this particular opaque color of light violet. Short, but not too short.
But at least you're naked underneath a bag. You know, I'm strapped up in a, you know, in a tie that's tied to my neck and a belt that's, you know, too tight, and I it's a lot of sweating, and I think women, you guys don't realize how great it is that you're in the most appropriate weather wise
that's fair.
But listen, you're in it. I'm enjoying the stories. I mean, I do love a wedding. I love a wedding because it's a great moment where you get to watch people outside of their comfort zone, so people really lose their minds, and I enjoy watching that fire burn.
Who
like the dad giving the speech, who's never really given a speech. The maid of honor giving that speech,
which is always
with
terrible.
The paper in front of her.
We did a group bridesmaid speech.
A group one.
Yeah, people love
the
those.
Group one.
People hate those. There's nothing people look forward to less than the group bridesmaid
the problem
speech.
With the group bridesmaid speech is you lose, every time you switch people, you lose momentum.
Right.
So the crowd, and especially bad sound system, so now it's like we don't even get used to the tone of this speech. It changes seven times throughout the speech, so it's just seven different chances to bow out.
Right. And also bridesmaids tend to do this where we just tell stories about ourselves with the bride because we can't make fun of them. Like the guys can make fun of the groom, which is not the same. So then the stories wind up becoming like no one who wasn't there doesn't get it.
It's the biggest mistakes maid of honor makes is they personalize the story so much
that no one can relate to them.
Yeah, they're no one understands what the hell they're saying. And sometimes as a guy, it feels like they're trying to elevate themselves
in the eyes of the crowd.
Yeah.
As the closeness to the bride.
Yeah, because they do that introduction in the front where you're like, I don't need... Hi, I'm I'm Jordana, and I'm Elise's best friend. We met... they do that introduction.
Did you crown yourself that?
Yeah. Who decided? I need to see the friend list.
I feel like you're pretty good. Have you done a speech at a wedding?
I've given speeches. I've been in a lot of...
I feel like that's like your job.
Groom's party. You would be great at it. I do okay. I think the thing with any maid of honor speech or bachelor speech, this is the advice I give everybody because I get asked this from time to time. Mm-hmm. People don't believe me. When I give they ask for the advice and then disagree with me on the advice. They think, well, give me a couple jokes to do. And I'm like,
you can't give them a joke.
I can't do that. What I can do is, and here's the formula. One story that you've told about the other person 1,000 times.
Right.
The one story that when their name comes up, oh, I got to tell you this story. Because if you're best friends, you have one story that you reference about them. Because if you've told a story 1,000 times.
When you think of them, you'll be better at telling it.
Exactly. You know the beats. You know the parts where people die out. You know the parts where people stop listening. So you stop doing that part by nature of redoing
it. It's like practicing a
set. Exactly. Right. So you've taken out the fat. So when you know, if your name came up, I would have that story. Oh, Jordana, you got to hear this. I'm going to go bop, 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 bop. And I have the whole story with all the beats ready to go. And then at the end of the story, you find a way, and this is where your creativity comes in, to relate it to the couple.
Bring it back.
Relate it to how this, and because of this story, I knew Jordana and Mike were meant to be together. And here's the thing.
Speech writing 101.
This is it. And you're like, well, when is it funny? Everyone in the room knows these people. So the story you tell will have the funny parts in it because we know those people.
Right.
So worry less about funny, more about the story you've told about them 1,000 times.
That's great advice.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
At the top of this podcast.
You don't just get dating advice. You get other advice for looking at you.
Well, this is the podcast of luxury issues. There's someone out there that's sweating right now being like, I got to tell this speech. And it's like, I've gotten that DM before. You just need the story. Relate it back to the couple. Grandma knows that, Mima knows that Jordana's messy too.
Right.
So everyone's going to laugh when you have the part about her being messy.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. You got to watch yourself a little bit more with brides because I think they're a little more sensitive.
But I agree. But if you've told the story 1,000 times, then it's been approved.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Like I had a friend once who came up to me with a bachelor speech, best man speech. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Jared, you do this. Take a read. And I read it and it was all jokes that were like, from Google best man speech jokes.
Oh wow. Yeah, those are the worst. The generic best man.
Oh my god. And the first line, I'll never forget it. I go, dude, you gotta take out
that was the first line.
So I go, you gotta take out this first line. He goes, no, it's funny. And I go, funny is you have to read the room. And he goes up and he goes, Chris, thank you for making me your best man. I hope I can be your best man at your next wedding.
Okay.
The crowd at this wedding, it sounded like a knockout at a UFC match.
Right.
Literally everyone
dead
went
silent.
I was at a table with like all my good friends. We were dying, but you can't laugh because it's like an awful joke and everyone else is horrified.
It's an awkward joke.
I was holding hands with two guys next to me, just like,
like, so you didn't take your advice.
No, they never do. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can give this advice on this podcast easily, but then the feedback is like, well, what line? And I'm like, you're not going to write a line. This isn't...
You don't know their friend. You're not going to write the line that...
No, you're not Jeff Ross. This isn't a roast. This is a loving, fun speech that when you nail it, it's because it was personal and it was funny because you reference things that everyone in the room knows. That's... Everyone wants to be in on a joke.
Yeah. Be like, I know that about.
Yeah, it's like when people come up to me and go, rate, review, subscribe. Oh, you know the podcast. You're making fun of something that that I scream to the heavens every night before I go to bed.
Speaking of which, you should rate, review, and subscribe.
Great transition, Jordana. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't told a friend, you're wrong. You're wrong.
We're mad at you.
Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes.
No one cares
Stitcher.
If you listen to it alone. You got to talk about it.
You got to talk about it. Look at what's going on with the Red Flag Deal Breaker cards.
I know.
People are loving them.
Get yours.
You can get yours today. But I just think you got to tell a friend. Instagram stories.
Do it.
Screenshot. Tag a bitch. Tag a bitch. Tag a bitch. One last thing before we get started, because I have to ask you a question.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's July 3rd right now, so yes. People are on their July 4th trips. Now's the time to share this with people. Car rides, people hanging out.
Yeah.
This is what it is. Also, I'm going to be in San Francisco the 5th and 6th. San Fran.
Go see him.
Come on. Come on out.
Before we're back in December.
We'll be back in December, so this is a little taste, little aperitivo of J-Train. So listen. For the 5th and 6th Cobbs Comedy Club, the world famous Cobbs, need you, want you, bring the group chat, ooh baby, ooh baby. I have a bruise.
Is this the question for me?
This is the question.
Okay.
On the inside of my arm.
Okay.
Do you see the bruise?
I see it.
We're taping. You see the
bruise? Yes, I see it. What's the
question? I didn't know that bruises needed to be accounted for your significant other.
Okay.
If you saw this bruise on Mike,
yeah,
well, would you say something to him?
I think I'd like be like, oh, where'd you get that? Not in like an angry way, but just in like
an inquisitive.
Yeah, like if you see anything on someone that's different, it's like, oh, you got a new haircut, you got a new bruise. Where is it from?
Well, the haircut's totally different. I don't keep track of bruises.
Do you bruise easily?
I don't know. I think women have this thing with bruises where it's like if you see it, like I don't know, it's like a bruise on a leg. Like I see women with bruises on their legs a lot.
That's a drunk thing.
It's a drunk thing.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Like no woman believes
that. Mysterious leg bruise. It
kind of feels like no woman believes a bruise could come from anything.
From nowhere?
From nowhere. From anything that's not bad.
Okay. What did you do?
Well, no, exactly. Well, Jess looked at it and goes, where'd the bruise come from? And I go, I don't know. And she goes, sure. And I'm like, what? Okay,
right.
I'm cheating. Like,
maybe it's not you're cheating. Maybe it's like, oh, you got drunk and you don't remember.
I mean, that could be very fair. Fine. But why is like, it feels like I would never like look at a bruise on a woman's body and be like, all right, well, get out the notes. Maybe I want to know where these bruises. I gotta see the bruise map.
Is she doing it in like a teasing way? You know, people are kind of like, oh, okay, like
it was teasy, but at the same time, it was. I'm asking because I'm like, what is the bruise from?
Well, that's an interesting thing about relationships. It's like little things. There's always like some truth and like a little bit of a joke that you're doing is like actually something that's sort of annoying you, but then there's. Those build up a little bit over time. Like for us now, this is like a different version of that. Well, he'll be like, did you eat on the couch? Because like we're not eating on the... It looks like you might be have eaten on the couch. It's like,
well,
that kind of
then
like...
Then who else would have done
right?
it?
Yeah, like that kind of thing. Or like, where's the stain from? Like, I didn't do the stain. Like, is that... Then so, you're like... And it's not like... It's like sort of veiled as like not accusatory. but it like kind of is. Like, yeah. Am I supposed to account for all the things that are like?
Am I supposed to write down everything right. I do throughout the day so that I have a, you know, something to like prove it with?
Right.
Well, this bruise came when I touched my arm by accident and I pinched myself because I was so in love with you. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Was this like a light teasing? Where is it from? Because I want to know.
It started as. Well, that's a thing. There's certain questions
you get. If it was on your neck, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe.
It's certain questions you get where you, if you don't have an answer, then it's the worst answer. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's why I'm like, she goes, oh, you have a bruise on your arm. I go, yeah, I do. And then she's like, well, what's it from? And I'm like, I have no fucking clue.
The bruise is an easier one, but I could imagine it being something like, there's lipstick on your collar. That used to be how you would find out someone was cheating. And you'd be like, oh, yeah. So I'm supposed to account for every lipstick stain that's on my clothes?
Yeah, well,
like, you don't want it to turn into like a gaslighting thing of like, you make her feel crazy for wanting to know something.
I don't know, but here's the thing. if you ask me where that bruise came from, it's different than the lipstick on the collar. Because the lipstick on the collar, you go, ah, got me. Like, if you go, where'd that bruise come from? Got me. This chick that I fucked touched my arm too hard. Like, I don't know. And then, well, the problem I have is, where'd the bruise come from? I said, well, I don't know. And then it becomes, you don't know? No, I don't keep track of my bruises.
Right.
That's not something I even like, but I do understand from a female point of view.
That one seems excusable on your end, but I could see how like, there are variants and instances of this where it's kind of like, that can be, you can be, get turned on as a girl to be made to sound crazy over something that's sort of like a totally rational question. Yeah. Where like, imagine, forget the bruise thing. Imagine you're like, so you didn't text me last night. Like you didn't, where were you? And you're like, oh, I don't know. Like sleep, I guess I fell asleep or something. And then you're kind of, it's kind of a thing where you're like, oh, okay. Like I could just take you at your word. Or like, I could sound crazy.
I think everyone gets one shot. Where'd you go last night? I fell asleep. Then the next night. You didn't text me again.
It happened. Okay. So you go, like, well, the first bruise, she could let go.
Yeah. And I go, oh,
second
I don't know.
Second bruise on your neck, dark.
If I come back so with much. A hickey.
Right.
This is the second bruise.
I don't know. I fell on my neck. Okay.
All I'm saying is build a case before you start fucking, you know, prosecuting.
That's fair if it's building a case. I'm just saying there is an instance where like you can feel like, oh, like I don't want to be like an idiot here.
I hear that. But do women track their bruises so much that they think that I should be tracking my bruises step for step within the way that they would? Because I feel like if you look at a woman and you say, oh, you have a bruise on your arm, she would go, last Friday, 9:43 p.m.
Yeah, I would know.
You would know.
You not know? Do you get a lot of mysterious bruises?
No, I don't get bruises. I'm just saying, this one specifically.
Right.
I was like, how the fuck? I'm not like memorizing my bruises.
But that's exactly what someone who had something to cover up would say.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of.
Yeah. I'm leaving, bitches.
I get both sides, but I'm just saying, like, I'm putting myself in her position, and I'm kind of like, yeah, like your first one I would let slide, but if you're like constantly getting these, like.
Sure.
So you had a scratch on your back.
I'm not getting enough fiber.
So you had a scratch on your back, right?
Different story.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like a.
Oh, I was in I went to the Tiger Zoo. And I went and played with the Tigers and it scratched my back. You know, like, I don't know.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you don't want to, I get her side because she's like, I don't want to look like stupid. And if he's getting too defensive, that's also weird.
I agree. Yeah. Well, that's the tight wire act that I have to do where okay, where'd you get the bruise from? I don't know. And then she looks at me for a long time and I go, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't keep track of my bruises. Then she'll go, sure. And it's like, now I'm in the position where I go, okay, where did the bruise come? You know, now it's right. Like, I can't. Sometimes someone can ask you questions where you have to look like you cheated. Like, right. This comes back to the whole conversation of, like, seeing you on the dating app.
Right.
Where it's like, no, look at my phone. It's like, oh, now I'm looking at your phone. Like, now you look like, no, I swear it wasn't me. It's like, now it's like, yeah. And then you're getting dragged into prison. They're like, no, hey, who's, right, hey, is then, anybody guilty? And then the rest of the prison hall's like, all of us are not guilty.
And then you're like, made to feel weird, though, about even thinking that was a possibility.
Exactly.
So as the, I'm saying, as the girl, I'm kind of like, oh, like, now I have to be the asshole who's like even thinking that you would do that.
I wasn't even there, though. I got a fucking bruise I didn't even know was there.
All right. Well, I'm saying first one, she should let slide if you're continuously getting mysterious bruises.
I get that. Let's do the show.
Yeah. Okay,
listen, send in your emails, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. If you have a bruise scenario, we'd love to hear about that. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about etiquette for dating in different neighborhoods, okay, which I've heard a few questions about, so I wanted to bring it up. This girl writes, "Hey, J&J, I wanted to get your input on the etiquette of dating and picking a location on the first and second, third, fourth, etc. date. I find that guys often offer to have the first date either close to where they live or somewhere halfway. They rarely offer to come closer to where I live. I live in a small city, so this could mean maybe a 15 to 25 minute car ride. I usually offer halfway and have often even agreed to meet in their neighborhood to explore a new place. But then a lot of the times that precedent is set and they keep wanting to set up dates in their neighborhood. I just went on my fifth date with a guy in the vicinity of his apartment. And when I mentioned we have never done anything in my neck of the woods, he replied, 'Well, you live in the boonies.' To which I responded, 'Yeah, but it's still 20 minutes in a car, whether it's me driving to you or you driving to me.'
Yeah.
Am I being nitpicky? I just wonder how this will translate to dating long term. I have no qualms about coming to see someone in their neighborhood if it's reciprocated once in a while. Thanks. Yours truly, either sober on every date or spending a shit ton on lifts."
I love this email. I love this because
it's got an interesting point.
It's got an interesting point, but she does the thing that people who live in the shitty part of town do.
Right. It's you still know? 20 minutes for either of us to
yeah,
get
yeah,
that.
Well, this is the thing. You know, with the neighborhood conversation, there's two different types of conversations.
Right.
Let's attack this one first, right? Which is, I keep driving to this guy who's 20 minutes away and he never comes to my area. She told us the whole story. Well, you live in the boonies. You have to be honest with yourself. Do you live in the sucky part of town?
That no one wants to go to.
That no one wants to go to. Right. Be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he should never go there, but
most of the time you should be going there. In high school, my mom moved to the town over, but I still went to my high school, right?
Okay.
So in order to see my friends, it was about 15, 20 minute drives. I would have to drive there all the time. Never did anyone come visit me ever. But here's the thing. I didn't expect them to.
No. Well,
because I moved to a far less convenient, annoying part of town, or not even by choice, but whatever. And like, what am I going to be like? Oh, all of my friends should come to this less convenient thing instead of me, who lives away from the main part of town.
Her response to you would be, it's one guy. It's not all my friends. It's the guy who I'm dating. He should want to come.
Right.
But I agree with you. Like, I live in Harlem. Okay. I live in Harlem.
It's not the most convenient.
Not the most convenient for my girlfriend lives downtown. To get to each other, we may as well be in a long distance relationship sometimes. Okay. I understand, you know, a lot of times we'll sleep at my place because I think the comfort level is better there. You know, I think it's more space to hang out. Also, when we go out, though, I'm not like, let's tour Harlem. I mean, maybe we've done it a couple times, but we've done more stuff towards her neighborhood.
Right.
When we're going to go eat or go out to drink and stuff like that. So I understand. You have to admit, someone has, you know, there's an A and B area.
Right.
You have to understand, be self-aware enough to know you're the boonies.
Right.
Your area stinks.
And here's the thing. If you do want someone to come to you, you have to make it an interesting sort of proposition.
Yes.
Which is like, fine. I think for me to go somewhere completely out of the way in the shittier neighborhood than where I live, the person would have to be like, hey, there's this great thing going on in this part of town at this restaurant near me that I've really wanted to try that's gotten great reviews.
Yeah.
Like, would you want to come by and try that? Not just like, well, we need to figure out somewhere around here to go. It's like, no, you plan it. You pick the place and you say like, this is why I'm giving you a value add to coming here where there's less obvious things to do.
Here's the problem. People who move, she's in the boonies, and then they do this. What she did is what everyone does who lives in the section of town no one wants to go to. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still 20 minutes in a car with me driving you to you or me, and we still have to go on a train no matter what. It's like, no. Your part of town is annoying. Admit it. This is what people do when they move to the new cool hip section. They have to be so loud about how cool and hip it is that it defends why they move there.
Right.
Admit it. It's not ready for everybody. Okay. It's just for you. People do this with Austin all the time. oh, Austin, the best food. It's like, no, no, no. Don't sit here and over tell me how good it is just to defend why you moved from New York to Austin. I'm not your mom.
If you have to say it, yeah. It isn't so.
That's the thing. So I'm not your mom. You don't have to defend this reason. I go to Harlem. I don't sit there going, no, 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 the best food. It's overpriced. I can tell you right now, all the restaurants up there are overpriced. If you go to a nice restaurant.
Oh, really?
It's and people always say, oh, Harlem, the food's great. There are good food. I'm not going to scream it from that just to defend. Mm-hmm. This is what people do. They want to let you know that their life decision was okay by making it the greatest and the best. So what I'm saying to her is have some awareness.
Right.
Your part of town stinks. It's no fun. He doesn't want to go there. But what you said is correct.
If you want to come, give a reason. Yeah.
Because also what that does, and I think what she's doing, she did this thing that I can't stand. Well, you... I mentioned never done anything. So I just went on my fifth date. So it took her till the fifth date to then go on the date she didn't want to go on and go, we always hang out in your section of town.
Why aren't Make a
you,
plan.
Why aren't you making a plan for, because she's afraid to show her opinion.
Right.
If she had texted him, hey, I've been having fun. How about this time? I got a place in my neighborhood that I love and I wanted to show to you.
Yeah, that's a more enticing offer than like, there's nothing more annoying to someone than do you like people who like negate your plan, don't want to do your plans and then don't offer a better suggestion.
Awful.
If it's even small things. I don't want to watch that show. Then tell me what show you do want to watch. Yeah, well, then I'll just keep looking for the both of us.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to this place. Like, great, where do you want to go?
It's the difference between do 20 push-ups and do a bunch of push-ups. You stop at 5 instead of doing 20.
Yeah.
There's no direction.
If you don't like the thing that this guy is picking out, which is a restaurant near him or halfway, pick something out yourself that's closer for you.
And here's the overarching thing. Opinions are hotter than no opinions at all. If I'm dating someone and they just keep going along without any opinion on, suggestion, then I'm like, who is this person even?
Right.
You know, you just heard my opinion on Austin, Texas. Love it or leave it. That's it. I think Austin, Texas is a place people move to run away from their lives in other towns and then have to tell you how great it is because they're afraid that you're going to think badly for leaving the town that was harder to make it in.
That being said, we'll be in Austin, Texas in December.
Town. Love you, Rainy Street. But what I'm saying is that's an opinion that it's okay to disagree with.
Right.
It's okay for the guy to go, tonight's going to be tough for me to get to your section of town. Okay, well, now you guys are having a real conversation with vulnerability. You've said, it's too tough for me to get to your section of town. Now it's how much do you really want it? How much do you really want to be dating
each other? Who wants it more?
Who wants it more? By the seventh date, if he has said no to your opinion plans every time, yeah, maybe he just wants to get off and say goodbye.
Right, make it convenient. Right.
But I do think there's a second version of this, and this one's interesting. The second version is, how do you feel about when a first date is planned and it's like you're basically under the apartment of the guy?
I find that to be a little rude if they don't even ask.
Okay.
Sometimes I think what I find best is I don't mind it if it's kind of just like,
you and I meet on
if I allow it to happen, sure, essentially. Well, I have a say in it.
You and I meet on an app and I say, cool, let's go get drinks. I'll meet you at this place at this time. And then you find out, then we're at that place and you go, how'd you find this place? I come here with dates all the time. I live upstairs.
I find that to be it's not a deal breaker, but I find it to be a red flag if the guy doesn't, when planning or picking the place, doesn't say, hey, like, where do you live or where do you work? Like, what's a convenient area for you?
When I was really on these apps and dating, like, that was a line that I would use. Hey, cool. We want to get drinks? Yes. Cool. What area of town are you in? Oh, I'm on this area. Cool. Why don't we, I'll figure out a spot. Let me go back, do some research.
Right.
And then make a plan. That's a thoughtful plan.
Yeah. That's someone who's like thinking not just about their own convenience.
Also someone who's not like fitting in woman into date.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah. Like I have this spot and then I'm like doing I'm just putting people in and out of the spot.
Yeah. Right? And it's like, that's where, yeah.
Slotting a date. Yeah.
I'm putting them into the cum factory. You know, women go in.
Romantic way to put it.
They
yes.
come out cummed with. Right. You know, like that's, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't be like a deal breaker, but if that happened consistently, I think that would be a bad sign. It's yeah. just a sign of like selfishness.
Sure, but I mean, at a certain point, you have to say like this: what we're telling this woman, like,
right? Hey, why don't like there's a spot here? Let's.
Well, it's not within walking distance of my place where I do all the fucking.
Well then,
I guess it's over.
Right? Yeah. I mean, those are the small things that really like should end. That's the reason I think as a lot of women date people for too long is because they don't say these opinions, so that yeah. it never be those things. Like, it's okay for those things to be issues. You want them to come out sooner because like then you don't waste any more time. Because if I ask you yeah. on date four or date three to come to me, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, that's not really convenient for me. I'm not going to come there. Then I know really early that you're not a guy who's like one compromising or two likes me enough to like.
But
make
this
a move.
Is something where it's like. You know, when people are like, we're going to have the talk. And it's like, and we've talked about this a bunch over the course of this podcast, where it's like.
It's the first time someone's had an opinion.
What's that?
I think yeah. it can be the first time where you're like, oh, like you want something that's not exactly what I want. I haven't heard anything about this.
But this is what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying like you should be testing who you're dating, but.
Everything's a test in the beginning, though.
This is the thing.
Everything, but it's not on purpose. It's just like, it's me saying who I am, you saying who you are, and then us finding out if that's compatible.
Everything's a. Are you above or below my standard?
Right.
And it's like, if you've never taken out the yardstick of your standards, then how can you be, well, what are we?
How do you even know you want to date that person?
How do you even know you want to date that person?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready? UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. You want me to do this?
This one's a doozy, yeah.
It's a doozy. Buckle your seatbelts, people. Sup, Betches. Trying to decide if I should jump on the compliment sandwich email intro bandwagon or stick to something original. Well, we've already spent time on this.
Well, that's what she yeah.
says. In typing out my contemplation, I have already used my character and allotment for that. Welp, love ya. Anyways, great podcast. I am listening as I type, to be honest. If you're wondering, the answer is yes. I've already rate, reviewed, subscribed. Thank you. Alrighty then. About a year ago, I was seeing this guy on a casual basis with hope / expectation on both ends of it turning into something more. Semi-recent breakups kept us from quickly jumping into anything serious. We'd been having sex and hanging out on the regular for about 3 months. So 3 months of hangouts and sex. One night we did our regular hangout stuff, dinner, drinks, walk around town, etc., and ended up in my bed making out. It was hot and heavy to me, and I was ready to fuck. I'd just been out of town for the week prior, so your girl was in the mood. Good to know. We didn't end up fucking. We didn't end up fucking, and eventually we went to sleep because I had work early in the morning. All right.
This happens.
The next morning, I got ready and left for work with him still in my bed sleeping. Normal for us, different work schedules.
Cool.
Fast forward to coming home from work that day to find the roll of toilet paper that I keep in my room to use for cleanup of the thing that didn't happen the night before. Out on my...
Girl, you've got to get, like, tissues.
I've seen the toilet paper maneuver. It's very... That's a younger
maneuver.
That's
a young move, yeah.
Yeah, I've got to think of toilet papers. One goes in the bathroom, one goes in the fuck right. drawer.
That's very, very high-end interior design.
Sure. Out... It'd be funny if dressers started putting that like toilet paper holder on them next to your bed.
Next to the
like,
thing.
Yeah.
Really
just like, oh yeah. Yeah.
You could see that in a college dorm.
I think it's a good addition to one. So I, the toilet paper that I keep in my room to use for the cleanup of the thing that didn't happen before, out of my dresser. Normally it's in the drawer. My curiosity led my eyes to the garbage can I keep in my room where I saw a bunch of balled up tissue on top. The same instincts that led my eyes now led my nose to the balls of tissue, which were actually toilet paper, and smelled distinctly of cum. The answer is yes, I did smell them. Is that weird? Please note, all dudes that I've told this to say that it's weird that I smelled it and that they don't know what cum smells like or that it's not a distinct smell.
Okay.
To that, I say bullshit, or I say that it's at least easy to distinguish the smell of cum from other common body fluids. Jared, thoughts? I'm really being put on the spot. Jordana, back me up here. I consider myself to be a sexually experienced 26-year-old, and this was definitely cum. So let's handle
this part first.
Yeah, let's handle this on the discussion of does cum smell?
I think it smells lightly. Lightly, if at all.
There's definitely a cum smell.
I think it's a light smell. It's not like a head. I mean, I don't know if I've never ever like taken a large whiff.
Yeah.
It's more, I've tasted it. I don't know if I've like really like, I guess there's a smell involved in a taste. I could probably sense it. I don't know.
I'll be open for
you
the
smelled
women.
Your, have you smelled my cum?
I've tasted my cum. Okay. I mean, let me.
You've had it sweet. You've had a lot of sex with yourself.
I'm as curious as this girl who's smelling the tissues in the toilet in the bathroom. I will say the dudes get uncomfortable revealing that they know anything about cum, even though it's in their body, because it seems somewhat like not. You know,
straight.
I think there's like some.
I think there is a weird stigma around one's own semen.
Sure,
but yeah, whatever.
I mean, well,
I don't
guys. Every guy knows cum has a smell. It's different. It's a little like nickels. It's like a metallic.
Sounds like nickels.
I think there's like a metallic to it ness okay. to it to me.
I've been watching have you seen Chernobyl?
No.
There's like a they keep talking about like a metal taste in the air from the atomic
That's
nuclear
cum.
Thing.
Yeah, Chernobyl.
That smells like Chernobyl.
Yeah, it smells like Chernobyl. We'll start calling cum Chernobyl. I don't know if that is offensive to anyone.
Probably.
So I'll say this, like there's this weird thing, like even me saying, like, it comes out of my body. Like why, like I've picked my nose and put my booger in my mouth. Like I've been that, okay. you know, as a kid. Not today.
Hot. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I'm going to be, let me be I'll be this podcast, Jesus Christ. Right. I'll, you know, take the brunt of the male, okay. you know, stigmas.
I mean, I've seen the tissues with the, I can tell when there's, it's like a.
You know when it's a cum
it's
tissue
like,
versus
it's like
a knockdown.
An invisible glue.
Yes.
That holds the wrapped up tissue.
Of course.
Like in a weird origami-esque
Have you found
shape.
Any of your guys' cum tissues? It's a date. You're living together?
No, I mean, like, he'll get rid of them okay. after. But, like, if I
have
saw...
Ever, have you walked in on him masturbating yet?
No, I have not.
I mean, that's common.
Well...
Both him and you.
Look forward to that day.
I'm just saying the male, the idea... We'll get to the end of this email because there's more to unpack here. But I for these men in her life to go, it's not weird that you smelled it because that's what you do. I see a foreign object. I'm going to look, see, you know, look and smell and investigate.
Right. I would imagine it would either be like someone blowing their nose. Usually when there's crumpled up tissue, it's either blowing your nose
and the cum tissue, very similar looks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my first thought, I think. Okay. But whatever. She smelled it. It was
fine.
Okay.
Fine. I have no issue
with like private detective.
I know.
Here.
I have no issue with you know, Carmen Sandiego over here, you know, looking around the room. So she writes, I scrambled wondering.
Judy Blume. Was that the author or the.
That was the author.
Yeah. Who was the girl?
Dora the Explorer for right. Cum. I scrambled wondering what the fuck to do. Because the guy I'm seeing clearly whacked off in my room without me there after having and not taking the opportunity to fuck me the night before. See, this is where I'm leaving her side.
Right. I agree. Let's finish it, though.
My solution. I hit him with a, did you whack off in my room?
JW.
Just wondering. I hate that. Because she takes a very serious... that's an abrupt question,
right.
And then
an embarrassing question. Right. Like, did you just fart extremely loudly?
Yeah.
JW.
Yeah. And then try to soften it.
Texting your friend.
Just wondering. With a lowercase JW. Did you whack off in my room? Just wondering. Like, those don't match.
I agree.
Did you just whack off in my room? Just wondering. Like, come on. Text message as if it happens all the time. Ha ha. With the intent of being straightforward. You're not being straightforward and not giving him a lot of wiggle room on answers. I'll attach screenshots of our convo for the sake of time. Basically, the guy lied to me for the next 24 hours about not whacking off in my room. Then there was clear evidence that the deed had been done. He finally admitted to whacking off in my room. Guilty. She wrote in all caps.
This girl's been watching too much Law and Order.
Yeah, got him. Put a lock him up. Take him away, boys. I got the cum. I got the evidence, and I got the admission. Throw away the cake.
She got the physical exhibit A. Semen exhibit B.
Yeah,
I had it tested too for your DNA.
Yeah. Oh my God, Mariska Hargitay. As suspected, and needless to say, deal breaker based on the lie. Initial reaction, red flag.
So she's saying it was a red flag initially, but then once he lied about it, it became a deal breaker. Do you want to read the? She has more to say,
Let me read the text.
I'll be
You be her.
I'll be her.
I'll be him.
Okay, you start.
Well, wouldn't it be you start?
Oh,
right?
I'm sorry for putting that on you. My investigative mind led me to the conclusion. I didn't mean to pry that hard. Just appreciate honesty a lot.
Yeah, I understand that because I do too. Honesty is crucial.
I love how she sent the text messages and she wrote numbers on them as if she were a real detective.
Yeah. With Exhibit one.
Text message screenshot exhibit one.
This does feel like Mariska put this together.
For sure.
Trust is key too, but that's also earned. I like that they went from a conversation of, did you come into the tissue that is I found in my garbage to now he's trying to be all professional and not guy who
totally
whacks off in other people's rooms. Like he writes, yeah, I understand that because I do too. Honesty is crucial. Like now he sounds like a dating book from the 1920s.
Oh my God.
And then she writes for sure. And then trust is key too, but that's also earned.
Yes, it is.
No doubt. And then he writes back later in the day. Well, I hope you had a good day. So is that kind of just it then?
I'm at a loss. I really, really want to believe you, but I also know what semen smells like, so I just don't know what to believe.
Oh, wow. You smelled my Kleenex, huh? Okay, then. See, now he's trying to make her crazy for doing the normal thing.
Yeah.
I'm standing by what I said because I wouldn't lie about something so pointless in life. But people believe what they feel, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Why would I not smell it? I thought that something got spilled or something. And I don't know, like the night before we were making out, I was ready to fuck. I was touching your dick, so you were probably in the mood.
That text bothers me from her. I'm bothered by her. because
right.
she's
turning this.
Well, she's being straightforward while also not being straightforward. She does the, why wouldn't I smell it? I thought something spilled. And you didn't fuck me.
Right.
You know, like, no, you didn't think something spilled, bitch. You saw cum tissue. You smelled it. You were affirmed it was cum right. tissue. Now you want to know why you didn't get fucked.
Right. What she should have said in this scenario is like, hey, like, I know you jerked off in my room after I left. Not like a huge deal, but I'm kind of like, I'm almost like wondering, it made me feel a little weird about the fact that we didn't have sex the night before. Was there something wrong that you didn't want to have sex?
And then that
that's
position,
really what she wants to know.
Well, that's, I understand that. You're right. That's exactly right. And she handled it in the worst way possible right. because she needed, here's the problem. Sometimes, and we can get to the end of the email. I did think about that. Some people catch you and want to own you for having caught you.
Right. That's what she's
doing. She wanted sweet, sweet justice.
Right.
She didn't want.
Guilty.
Guilty. She didn't want. And this is the problem. This is a very big learning experience for a lot of people. And we all have done this where you have to get, what do you want out of this? Mm-hmm. She says it was a red flag when she saw the cum tissue. It sounds like this thing has run its course. You're fucking him for 3 months now, and you guys aren't going to be in a relationship, and it didn't really go that way, so you're looking for reasons to get out. So when you found a reason to get out that all your friends could all rally around, and you could sound like a smart person and make him sound look bad, you got it and took it and ran with it. So she goes, well, I want to know, did you, you know he fucking whacked off.
Right.
You don't need him to answer that question. You're more wondering, hey, why didn't we have sex the night before?
Right, that's
it has nothing to do with the cum
tissue.
But
she can't say that because she doesn't want to be vulnerable and put herself out there as being a little bit insecure about the fact that he didn't have sex. But the real issue
is she took the other option of making him insecure.
Tried to make him feel bad. It's like projecting.
Exactly. Right. And making him the well, I need to know, did you or did you not come in my room? Let me tell you, and this happened to me. I was on a train with Jess. We're on a train, and like, I don't know if this relates, but I had headphones on and I farted and I didn't realize how loud the fart was. So she literally turns to me and goes, was that you?
Jacob,
what kind of a team effort is this?
Just wondering.
Yeah, just wondering. But it's like that's the type of, that's not how you ask people uncomfortable questions.
Right.
Hey, like the way you put it is perfect. Hey. I it looked like you whacked off in the bed. I'm cool
right.
with that.
Yeah, that's
I understand.
Not,
you know, and let me tell the women out there.
I don't think that's that big of a deal.
Masturbation and right. sex are two totally different fucking things.
Yeah.
Stop. Women are.
I don't think because someone does one thing, it means that they're not interested in the other thing.
Absolutely.
Or that maybe the night before they just like were in the mood or couldn't get it up or were really full or whatever. There's a million reasons.
Sometimes it feels like women who aren't confident are in competition with male masturbation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've dated girls like that where they're like, well, how many times did you have to masturbate? It's like, that's not about you.
Right.
That has nothing to do with you. I woke up. I saw an opportunity. My dick was hard.
Right.
I'm going to go.
Perform
I'm gonna do
an
this.
Investigative analysis about why I wanted to do this.
Yeah, this
time.
Had nothing to do. I've never masturbated and been like, fuck her. She's not getting my cum. Like, that's not how it fucking goes.
Right.
Like, so like,
nor
also,
is it worth-
you made it easy yeah. on him. You put the tissue paper right next to the bed.
She said it was in the drawer.
In the drawer. He opened the drawer. He goes, oh, look it. I got a hard cock. I got a toilet paper right here. I mean, I
also think the fact that he lied about it means that he liked you.
Yeah, he was a little afraid
right.
of looking like
if he didn't give a shit, he'd be like, yeah, lol. Like,
yeah, my bad.
Kind of
yeah.
felt like it. Whatever.
I mean, I've had certain situations.
I don't think lying is good, but it's also like you kind of like the way you phrased it made it seem like it was not like okay. And so I could see why he would like.
Totally.
It's not like he lied about something that he thought would really hurt you or something like that.
No.
Like this was kind of like, oh, like I've sort of been caught doing an embarrassing thing. I don't really want to talk about this.
She's treating the way she investigated. She's treating cum as if it's diamonds and there's only so many on earth.
Right.
You know, it really did feel like, and as we read the email, it felt like she put the lamp up to his face. Did you come in my bed? You know, like, and it's like, you know, word of the wise men out there, if you're going to masturbate in someone else's bed, throw away your stuff in the toilet.
Now you know.
Women go through this shit.
Like a,
like,
this is like the OJ glove situation.
Exactly. Fucking find a better receptacle.
Right.
I mean, this is a hilarious email because I've been put in that position where it's like, well, if the cum didn't go on me, then you must hate me.
Right.
You know?
I think it can, I can understand, and I've felt that way on occasion before, where I'm kind of like, should I take not someone not trying to have sex with me personally? Because also, like, the different signals that are sent to men and women are very different.
Sure.
So sometimes you're like, that can sort of feel like a way that your worth is judged, in a, mm-hmm. or am I not sexy? Am I not hot that he didn't try to have sex with me? Like, what does it mean if they didn't, more than like the other way around? I can see why that might be like an initial thing that might have made her feel bad.
Of course.
I can see why that might hurt a tiny bit, but that's not what she's saying. She's like not expressing that in like a normal, healthy way. She's turning it on him to make it like an acute, trying to embarrass him.
Yes.
To make him feel bad about it, instead of saying what she really feels and what's mm-hmm. really hurting her, which is that she felt like he didn't want her.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's funny that we start these emails with like, wait till you hear this one. Now we're like, yeah, he got
the bad end.
It's not a big deal. I mean, right. Do you want to read the rest of this?
Yeah, let's finish it.
We won't go through the text, but let me read the.
Okay.
The next morning, I get ready. We read that. Now, I believe that I have high creeper weird tolerance, meaning that a lot of what other people might find weird as fuck, I might not, and it takes a decent amount for me to get really weirded out. Well,
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that. Yeah, people are weird. People are messy. I get it. No, you don't get it. The fact that the guy I'm seeing liked/liked whacked off in my room, not that weird to me. The fact that he had and did not take the opportunity to fuck me, then whacked off in my room and lied about it, weird to me based on character. No.
That I disagree You're, with that.
You yeah. aren't confident. Admit yeah. that. You need to deal with your own self-worth issues, and you're not confident in this relationship.
Right, because if the things that you're offended by say a lot about your insecurities.
Absolutely.
The things that offend you are the things that you're insecure about.
I that is such a perfect way to put it, because now we live in a time where everyone's like, everyone's PC. No.
Right.
Everyone's just dealing with their own insecurities out loud.
Or like this this comedian is funny, but once he said this thing, that was crossing the line, because I know someone that has this thing and it and
yeah.
it's bad, or I suffer from this issue, and the fact that they're making fun of that is not okay. It's like, just because
If
you're offended by it, it's because you're insecure about it.
Exactly. And it's all it takes is a little bit of looking in the mirror to go, you know what? I got to stop that. I got to put this away. I had a woman come up to me in San Antonio. Did I tell you the story? San Antonio, after a show, she's like, I had to walk out during your set.
I think you mentioned this.
And I go, well, what was the joke? And she goes, I don't know. Penis, farts. And then just walks away. I don't have a penis fart joke in the whole thing. But she might have heard the word penis, heard me talk about farts, and maybe she farted on a penis. I don't know. Something happened in her
right,
life
to make her feel
to make
she,
her feel uncomfortable.
That she felt bad about.
That's
that,
not my
that
fault.
This reminds her of.
Totally. And that's not my fault. And also, it's good of her to leave the room if that's what makes you feel uncomfortable. So I think, she writes, I think if he had told me the truth from the get-go, the relationship might have been salvageable. No. You were looking for a reason to throw this thing away. That's the other thing that she's not saying. She had a guy that, you know, a lot of mm-hmm. the relationships that we have right now are like fine. And when you end them, you feel like you need a reason to tell
right.
the group. And she's like, no, this was your reason to get out, so that you didn't look like you threw away an okay guy. Because your friends will go, well, we liked him. No.
Right. Or now to rationalize it to herself.
Totally. So now you get to look at him and go, yeah, this guy fucking whacks off in girls' rooms while they're not around, and he won't even fuck you. He likes to do that more. And it's like, yeah. You can make him a monster now. But since he lied, shit got real weird quick, real weird real quick, and we haven't talked since, which is unfortunate because we had a great time together. I am now in a happy relationship with someone else. Sorry, the criminally long email. I love you guys. Jordana, you're a badass bitch and are killing the game. Don't stop doing yo thing. Jared, I do believe that people... I like that you got, you're a badass bitch. Now I'm getting, Jared, sit on my knee for a second. I do believe that people have multiple soulmates in life, and you may be one of mine.
I don't think
nice.
The feeling is mutual based on
she's
your...
got a lot to work on.
Yeah.
I do too. We all do. I hope this one makes the cut. I don't feel like I've really heard anything similar on the show. Might make for a great discussion. Okay, bye. I think it does make for a great discussion because there's so much.
Maybe
to
not
talk
the
about.
One she wanted.
Not the one she thought was coming. I mean, we could go through their text, but I think it's just like enough already.
I think it is enough, but I think his last text to her, where he finally admits it, is kind of telling about the way that she did this wrong, where he goes, you know what? Well, he says duck it, but I'm sure, you know what? Duck it. You're already not going to talk to me. I already blew it because I got embarrassed and nervous and lied because I thought it would go away. And it's just, it's worse now. And I, and that's it. So I guess, so fuck it. Sorry I lied. Sorry I did get sick, but I also did the other thing. So I'll duck off. Sorry for the inconvenience. You were right. Best of wishes. Peace sign emoji.
And then, yeah, that's a great text.
That's what I would say, yeah, too. I'd be like, he's all being right, vulnerable himself. He's saying, I'm sorry. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell you. And like, I thought it would go away. And I think that, like, obviously, like, not lying is always better, but like, sure, he lied because he was like embarrassed, and we've all done that.
Sometimes the setup doesn't work for you, right, you know, and he was in a position, an unwinnable position. Well, also, look what she wrote back. There was no inconvenience, Adrian. I just joined a gym, and that's where I am right now, and that's why I didn't answer. I'll text you when I leave. And it's like, her answer to that is even not fun or great or, you know, like,
right,
it was an inconvenience for you. You spent your whole day needing an answer.
Right.
Needing to get him.
Or at least acknowledge, if you want to be like, if you want to date like a grown-up person, if someone tells you something that's real about how they feel, you have to respond with a little bit of compassion and, yeah, like, understanding. Even if you didn't want to be with him, you could still say, hey, look, I get it. Like, it's kind of like, it feels weird now, and I don't really think that maybe like this wasn't really going to work out anyway, but
the cum curtain has been drawn.
Sorry if I, yeah, like made you feel embarrassed or, yeah, I don't know, whatever.
I agree. I think that email, I love that email though. I'm happy she sent it. You should send in yours. Do we have a name for it?
The private dick.
Private dick. I like that. Cum sniffer. What did I wrote this down. The otter.
What's the otter?
So has this happened to you? Has anything like this happened to you? I've had two situations where something like this has happened to me.
No, what is it? With this?
Yeah.
Where someone's accused you of jerking off?
So.
What about come in order?
Come in order is perfect. That's the name. I, one time, I'll be very vulnerable. We have to get to the emails too.
But yeah.
I am a tissue next to the bed whacker offer.
Okay.
I'll let everyone know.
As I
know.
Think many, many a man are, is, right?
I guess I'm in that group. Please don't judge me. I am also disgusting and messy. Can we Can we put away the judgment hats? Okay. Put it away. One time, I used to live by myself. I live by myself now, but I had a really shithole apartment. Like, I was really not taking care of it. And I would literally...
That doesn't surprise me that much.
So I would whack off, and then I'd, like, take the tissue and, like, throw it, like, kind of, like, do it like a, like, an over-the-head throw to the side of my bed. Get it later.
Okay. And,
I forgot, and my buddy was like, maybe I'll stay with you for the weekend. He comes into my apartment to like check it out to stay with me, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? And there was just like, it was like an otter had whacked off in a dam in a creek and like created a dam of cum tissues.
Oh my God.
It was bad.
Wow, that's a lot.
I mean, I'm being honest here.
So now, okay, the otter now makes a lot
the
of
otter.
Sense.
So that was it. And one time this happened with Jess where I slept at her place. She left, and then I shit in the toilet. I'm okay. Really making myself sound attractive. She doesn't have to worry about my bruises now. I left, but I think I
didn't
flush enough, and she came back to just like a bad toilet situation. Okay. And I had to be like,
you admitted it.
Yeah, that was me.
I could, if you had lied about it, I would understand.
Sure. Let's do some emails.
You know,
let's move on.
It's like that song Jumper.
What's that?
Like the, never mind, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's playing in my head. Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Boll & Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Boll & Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Boll & Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's do a couple of quick emails and
let's get it. Hey, J&J. So I've recently been on three dates with a guy I met on Hinge. They've all been great dates, and I'm really into him and curious to see where this might go. Like many of us, I like to share my dating life updates and recently was sharing my matches with friends over drinks. I shared his pic and some of the details of our dates with the group. As I'm doing this, one of the girls yells, "Oh my God," and quickly opens her matches and reveals,
"Oh God!"
and reveals she has also matched with him and has also recently been on three dates with him.
Now, this guy has got a lot of energy.
Seriously. Now, it's New York City and the dating pool of recent men in their 30s is quite... of decent men in their 30s is quite small, so this is bound to happen.
Hold on. Stop that. This is NYC and decent men in their 30s. Yeah, how is it in Lexington, Kentucky?
Right, there's millions and millions of men out
there. Yeah, stop it. You're in NYC. You're the biggest dating city in the world.
It can seem like that sometimes, but that's not the case.
Yeah, but also open your fucking eyes.
Right. This isn't like...
how is it in Des Moines?
The middle of nowhere, yeah.
How is it in, fucking wherever.
So this is bound to happen, but it's the first time it's knowingly happened to me. We both agreed we like him and wanted to see where it goes, respecting that if it worked out for one of us and not the other, that we'd be cool about it. It's very early on.
There is nothing cool about this situation at all. Yeah, so no, they're just like, cool, I guess we just both go with it. That's winner gets the dude.
That's like in Friends. Do you remember in Friends? Very late season of Friends. Joey and Ross are dating the same girl because they want to see who she
may the best
picks.
Man win.
It's very weird.
What? This is weird. This is Sister Wives.
Yeah, this is not normal. It's very early on in our dating process, so we agreed not to say anything to our unknowing bachelor until it was serious.
This is an episode of The Bachelor without him knowing it.
And one of us gets the rose, should we choose to accept. I have mixed feelings on this. The two of us know what's going on while he's completely in the dark. He's perfectly allowed to see other people at this point, but he may want to know he's seeing two people who are in the same friend group.
I hope he fucks them both and then ghosts them both. Because this is annoying. This is not the adult way to go about it.
I agree. It seems like the plot of like a bad movie.
Yeah. Sometimes women do that. It feels like, and I'm not saying men are absolved of this, but I just feel like a lot of women are like, ooh, we have a rom-com scenario.
Right.
Let's play it out.
Yeah, no. From one perspective, we don't tell him now and he starts dating one of us more seriously and finds out at a later date that we both knew and he didn't. He could feel deceived and any future potential relationship is based on a lie.
I mean, if a woman found this out the other way,
that he wasn't telling them, I'd be very,
friends,
very annoyed.
Yeah. Like, let's switch the gender roles in this. The woman could rightfully be like, I mean, I was deceived by two people who... you know, like to get into bed, you know, like I,
right.
Like I could see how that she could make this. I don't think.
I think it's very quick to the,
I was taken advantage of.
Right. It seems less bad cause it's a guy, but I see what you're saying.
Like if the gender roles were, yeah.
Yeah.
One dude with two chicks were like, get her.
Girls are both looking for a relationship. I think they're hoping that he becomes like their husband. So it seems less like a malintention.
Sure.
But when you put it the other way, it does seem more fucked up.
It's kind of like when you watch Never Been Kissed Again.
Oh, and you're like, oh, the teacher wants to have sex with the 16-year-old girl. Like, and that's the 16, not and surprise. The girl,
yeah, and the girl who's not 16 is 25 and right. is back in high school dating a guy. Like, seriously,
right?
And the guy and her brother's like
also old also, and dating a yeah. high school girl. Very so, weird.
So, yeah, this is a, one of those scenarios,
right? Or like in Parent Trap.
Yeah,
you where just, they separate. Oh yeah, the kids.
We'll just split up the two kids. Who cares?
Yeah,
they don't need to know each other.
On the flip side, it's so early on, it seems unnecessary to share this, given there's a possibility neither of us ends up wanting to date him. What should we do? Do we come clean or keep it our secret? Love the podcast and hope to hear your thoughts. Here for the right reasons. I think they both stop dating him.
Interesting.
I think that's the move.
That's how afraid, I mean, I say it on this show a lot, where like women see dating as a job and relationships.
Right,
as
you're
a
like,
vacation.
Oh, I've got this one, whatever.
We both have the same one, but one of us might be free of the tyranny of dating with nobody in the dating pool in New York City. Like,
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think that we're so caught up in these like rom-com like things that we've grown up with too, that we're kind of like, what if I'm potentially like releasing someone who could be a great match for me? That's the reason that people give themselves when they do things like they like sleep with their friend's partner or like something like that, or have sex with like their ex's friend or something like that, where it's like, but I don't want to have to throw this away because of this like technicality or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
that's not really the case, is like you said, like there's literally millions of men.
The other thing is, like
the city.
You're going also like there's millions of men, and not all of them are dating on three different dates with two different women.
Right.
You know, like this guy is
he doesn't like either of you enough if he's still
exactly.
seeing both of you.
When I'm three dates with both of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of energy. I said that's a lot of energy because at some point you have to have like levels to these things when you're out there dating. You got to have the three date girl. You got to have the drinks girl. You got to have the one that you meet up late night with girl. Like if he's a real single dude.
Right.
You know, like he is in three date mode with two. He's got two people on the same level. One of you has got to go.
Yeah.
So or he's trying to fuck both of you and then get rid of one and then make one of you the late night. Okay.
Yeah. And then does that make things less weird? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. We talked about weddings in the beginning and wedding speeches. I do believe a lot of women stay in things because they can hear how good the speech will sound at the wedding.
Right.
So it's like, I'm Rebecca and I'm the best friend who used to date Johnny. Like one of them is thinking of the other one giving the speech for them at their wedding.
Right.
You know, like the rom-comification of these meetings.
It's
women
not
a lot
real.
Of time they it's not real, and they a lot of time women want the story as much as the relationship.
Right.
This is one of those
things. You have to realize the more of a story there is, the more fucked up the relationship usually is. Like you're like you never hear that couple who was like on again, off again all throughout college, and then they like wind up getting married, but like they have a terrible
sure.
It's like they're in their head, they're like, oh, we like managed to stay together all these years despite the highs and the lows.
No.
And it's like,
you two were too afraid of being single and didn't take a chance to be alone for a little bit.
Exactly.
That's why you've ended up with each other.
Yeah. The healthiest relationships are the ones where people just like meet each other, they hit it off, and then they continue dating.
It drives up the mountain. Yeah. It's, to me, if I'm these girls, you think they should both stop?
I think they should both stop because it's just like, now it's kind of weird. And like, they don't, if they're actually good friends, why even like make it a risky, weird thing?
Also,
in high school, my friends and I used to like the same guys, and we would have issues with like dating the same guys. But that kind of felt like at the end of the day, like the guys are gone. We're still friends.
Yeah. And like, also, that was high school.
Yeah.
When, there's very few, they've high schoolified New York City.
Right, which it's not the case.
It's not the case. Yeah. They're saying, well, there's so few decent guys in New York City in their 30s. It's like, no, there isn't. There's just few decent guys that you've met and that have not wanted to date you. If I'm these girls, I don't know if they both, I think they could both, it would be in, the way you do it, you say, hey, you start a group chat. Both of you text together. The guy, you both say, hey, on the same group
found
chat.
Found out that we're all dating.
Hey, so we're all dating now. Just want to let you know, we know each other well. Also, he knows they know each other.
You think?
If Instagram has been broken through, he knows.
Right.
So if they've broken those bounds or their dating app profiles, do they have each other in their pictures? Like, I think he knows more than they're letting on, believing
he knows
he
you might
know.
Have a connection. Yeah.
Get on the same group chat and just be like, hey, and then you both walk away, and then he will come to the one he wants to date more.
So you think that it'd be fine for that girl to keep dating him?
No, I think they should both end it, but then he'll come back.
Yeah, let him maybe give it a little bit, and then eventually you guys can.
He's gonna come back around to one of them.
I don't think they should go off into the sunset right away, though.
No,
like if it's meant, come back in a bit.
Let him make an effort if you really want to date.
Right.
Let him go, you know, with another three dates with one of you.
It's like, I remember I once got this email from someone who was like, I met this guy and I found out he's like my second cousin. Like, is that, I'm like, yeah, like there's millions of men.
There's
like,
other
just
people.
You don't need to date your cousins. Like we're in a world where that doesn't need to be the case. Anyway.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
You want to play some games?
Yeah, let's play some games.
All right,
you ready?
Let's do it. UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com.
Ready? Okay. Red flag or deal breaker? He orders food before you leave, before you even get there, and doesn't ask if you want anything, and doesn't even offer a fucking French fry. And just a note, the plan was to grab a drink, not dinner. And FYI, he only ate half his burger, got a to-go bag, and said he'll probably give it to a homeless man.
I mean, this sounds like a bad day from minute one. I think when you plan to get drinks with someone, you've gone to get drinks with someone.
Well,
set up your whole, like to be like, oh, like to put away your computer as the person walks in where you got a burger. You're like, oh, I was just having my day here.
Right.
And it's like, go, like, take the effort to, like,
pretend that you're there just for that.
Right.
Like, right. The guy clearly, like, didn't want to pay for dinner, but he, like, was hungry before the thing, so he bought himself dinner.
Yes.
Got drinks. And
absolutely.
Was like,
it's just like, fitting you in.
Yeah. Which is a red flag, probably, assuming everything else didn't go. If everything else went really well, it'd be a red flag, but otherwise probably
if I showed up and someone was like, oh, taking their napkin out of there.
Hey, like as if you're walking into their office.
Yeah, that's what it kind of feels. Yeah. That's what this feels like.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, you're not dating. You're getting through introductions to
holding a meeting. Yes.
Yeah, to have me at some later point when it's convenient for you. Especially as a woman, I would think, like a lot of guys get through the first date to then never date you.
Right.
You know, we know that you want, we'll get drinks. And again, I've said it on the podcast before, beware the Saturday hangout after the Thursday date. You know, that's a guy
beware,
who's like, I got the date on Thursday. We had the talk.
I put in the minimal effort.
Yeah.
And now I can text you.
And now I'm out
night.
And drunk, and now you're convenient and you're new.
That's fair. This person always, their phone is always at less than 20% battery and dies very frequently, like 2 times a day. This doesn't prevent this person from making plans, but they are virtually unreachable throughout the day.
I'm okay with this.
One, you can get one of those battery things that attaches to their phone if this winds up being a real thing.
Yeah.
And if that bothers you a lot. And two, like, it's kind of nice to, as long as they're continuing to contact you and make plans, I'm not really that worried about this.
Yeah. Some people.
I'm not a big small talk texter.
I'm okay. Yeah. I don't mind. I'm a small talk texter myself. I am that type.
Okay.
But it's nice when someone is so aloof about their phone.
Right.
Like it's almost like comforting. Cause
it's
I'm
an
so,
afterthought.
I'm so not aloof about my phone. Like, I thought I couldn't find it over here, and I acted like my baby was gone at the fucking, you know, water park. Right. And for them to go, yeah, it's somewhere. Like, I don't think that's, because what they're saying is they're saying they're not a bad texter. They're just bad at, like, the process of keeping your phone alive. I could see that and be okay with that.
That's fair. Okay.
Let's do one more. They sleep with a nightlight. Red flag or deal breaker?
I sleep with a sleep mask.
Do you?
Because I like total darkness. So wow. I think it would work for us.
No blackout shades?
I had them in my, in like an old, older, my old apartment, mm-hmm. but it's still not, I'm very light sensitive. I'm
you
very
gotta get the ones I have. They're unbelievable.
Complete darkness?
It's like, I think like there's a percentage.
Yeah.
They're like 97%.
Well, my apartment comes with like their own shades, so you'd have to like take them down. And
worth it. I actually, well, because also I like will sleep during the day a good amount. Like I'll mm-hmm. take a lot of naps if I'm out late that night or,
yeah.
or if I'm out late the night before, I'll like wake up at like, maybe, you know, later, like 9:30, 10 or whatever.
Right.
So it's like bright.
Okay.
It's been helpful.
I would say if it's because he's like scared, it's a little bit of a turnoff.
Yeah. It's you sleep near the door. I don't want to be near the scaries.
We have. Yeah, exactly. Like, where am I going to run when the, yeah. when am I going to, is the guy protect me if there's some, if there ever is an intruder? Sure. I would not be confident in that if he has his nightlight. He does have a toilet light, which is actually very convenient.
Ooh, I saw it on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has that thing. Where like when you, so you don't have to turn on the lights, so it doesn't wake you up when you go into that
fantastic.
One I'm into. The nightlight, if it's because he like wants to be able to find things at night.
Sure.
Fine, although I don't really.
Well, I mean, I'm a person that sleeps sometimes with the TV on.
Yeah.
I also sleep sometimes.
Well, some people fall asleep better with the TV on.
I fall asleep with a podcast on sometimes.
Interesting.
And I've been doing that since I've been like 10 years old.
Podcast. Well, you've
like
been
a
very
radio. I used to have the talk radio on.
Wow.
On a sleep timer. From like when I was 10. So I've been sleeping with like radio on. Like I
okay. But it's not because you're scared, right?
It's a, I'm scared of my own thoughts.
Okay. It's an internal like, anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I don't want to be thinking. I want to be listening to what someone's saying as I nod off to sleep. And then the radio goes off on a timer. Like, so when I do the radio or podcast, it's just like a 30-minute timer and it's like off by the time I wake up.
Got it.
The TV I have on, like, I think that's very much how one of those like logistical things that need to work out with your partner mm-hmm. for it to work out. Like Jess doesn't mind the TV on, from what I know.
Okay.
So like,
I don't like the TV on.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
So like, I could imagine like when I sleep at her place, like I've slept at other girls' places where I've been so uncomfortable that I'm like, I have to end this thing because I can't sleep at this girl's place. Sometimes that's just stuff that like.
Okay.
You know, that keeps people apart, you know,
the little things.
It's a very small thing. So I'm like, if someone out there is like, yeah, I sleep with a nightlight because I just don't like it completely dark when I sleep. And there's another guy out there be like, I gotta have that TV on, like that. They're more of a match than complete darkness, face mask and nightlight guy.
Right.
You know, like
that's true.
These are one of those things that like, no, people would much rather say, have someone get up at their wedding and say, well, Mike was dating someone else at the same time as me and I won because my blowjobs were better than someone going, well, we both like a nightlight. Like, right. you know,
that's
like,
true.
One
those
story
are not as exciting.
Not right. as exciting, but there's one that matters.
There's one that's healthy and yeah. one that's not.
So well. To me, a nightlight, to me, is a fine scenario because I also have some sort of light on while sleeping.
Okay. So. That's fair. All right.
I think we did it.
I think that was a great show.
A great show, if we do say so ourselves. Listen, if you're listening now, that means you're enjoying the show. If you're near any of these towns, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Toronto, we want you to come out. We want you to bring the crew.
We
want to
meet you.
We want to meet you. Love you. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. We also want to have fun with you. These shows are fun. They're not. The podcast is a very different experience from the live podcast. We bring people on stage.
It's very interactive.
It's very interactive. It's fun. So if you know someone that doesn't listen to the show, they're the Knock podcast person, bring them out.
We'll
it's
answer
a fun
your
night.
Questions.
We'll have some drinks. We'll have some fun. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
Bye. Betches.